adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist.
Woo.
Yeah. Joe Escalante and Warren Fitzgerald, both here from the Vandals. Always.
Hello. Hi.
Always happy when the Vandals show up in studio.
Thank you.
Smart, easy, nice, friendly, effortless. Effortless show. And I think last time, I was just reading here, but it reminded me that Joe was one of the few amateur bullfighters in the United States. Remember that?
About that. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm even better now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, still amateur, though.
Yeah, well, how do you turn pro?
You actually have something called an alternativa where they give you the pink socks. And that's not even a joke. You're awarded the pink socks.
The pink socks.
And you get paid for your work.
I got the pink
then?
Eye once when I fell asleep on the subway, Drew. Did I tell you that story?
That's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah. Woke up just after the guy finished. Bad, horrible
time. That'll give you pink eye. Well, it's actually
timing.
Chlamydia you can get.
Couldn't have just taken my shoes. Nope. Had to finish on me. So you get the coveted pink socks.
Yes.
And then that's it for the Olympics, though. You're no longer...
yeah, no more
give
Olympic.
Up your amateur status.
Exactly. You're done.
Yeah, you know, here's the whole thing. I don't think you need to delineate between the amateur bullfighter and the professional bullfighter.
You call yourself
a bullfighter.
Yeah.
We don't think about that, and I sure as hell know the bull doesn't care. It's just we think bullfighter.
Right.
That we picked
it's
a guy
like
from
rodeo
an Elvis
rider
movie.
Or something. It's like, yeah, some guys in their free time.
Yeah, there's certain things. I'm actually, what is a sport where it's a big deal? You know what I mean? Like it's a pretty big deal, like in baseball, between being a professional baseball player and being an amateur baseball player. One guy could be multimillionaire, household name. Next guy I never heard of, doesn't make a penny.
Right.
Bullfighting, just go ahead. You're a bullfighter.
Thank you.
That's good enough.
Curling.
With that.
Curling.
Yeah, I would have given you curling. I would have given you the pink socks last time I saw you. Had
Thank you.
Had
pink
I know.
Socks. Sounds
yeah.
weird.
Lacrosse.
The Vandals. I really do think some sports are made up just to F with people, like curling and like, you know, the coveted pink socks. And this is a way to confuse, upset, and make everyone feel like as if they're high.
Yes.
Like you were just creating
mushrooms. Like you're on mushrooms.
Yeah, yeah. There's some sports like when you're making up your own card game in a sitcom and you're trying to win money off your kid brother. That's what it sounds like. I have the instruction card. That means you give me $1 million. Yeah, that's a deuce high instruction card. Well, I'll be taking that money. Oh, there's some there's a snoogie on it. Oh, that's a bonus. Oh no. Yeah, I miss that. They used to do that in sitcoms. All right, so Vandals, yes. The Warped Tour. Wait, am I looking at the right place?
Yeah, that's us, Warped Tour.
Yeah,
every other year for the past million years.
Vans Warped Tour is starting June 25th through August 3rd. You guys are on it during that period.
Yes.
And they have a new hit.
The tour, I know.
Yeah.
First hit in 20 years.
Amazing. Yes.
You know, I'm glad for the band, but I kept thinking, why did we have him on the show before? What was going on?
Those were favors.
We were wondering, yeah.
Yeah, those were favors. Well, maybe,
that's why we used to have to bring Josh Fries.
That's why they're back now.
Yeah, maybe we should. Oh, you know, there's another thing I saw here that I thought was kind of cool, which is Warren working on the School of Rock soundtrack.
Oh, that was fun, yeah.
Very exquisitely successful, I would think. I mean, the guy movie
that
was.
Is it Jack? What's the guy's name that wrote
Jack
that?
Black?
Jack
no,
Black?
No, no,
no.
The guy wrote it?
Oh, Mike White.
White. I think I was sitting next to him, but I went to see a airing of Fahrenheit 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
Ooh,
God.
True.
Had Diane Keaton behind me going,
just fuming.
Yeah.
And then he was right next to her. I was like,
yeah.
This thing's going to.
She's probably one of these types that, like, you know, announces if a Republican gets in office, she's leaving the country and then decides to compromise by going back to Malibu.
I heard she said she was leaving the country and moving to Catalina last time when Bush was elected.
She seems mentally ill.
Yeah.
I always loved her stuff.
Loved her stuff. But now. Now you
it was just hard to sit with her behind there grunting and
what
talking
the hell
at the
were
screen.
You doing?
I got to go.
I thought you were an American.
Yeah, what happened?
It was weird. It was weird. It's going to be disturbing when this thing comes out.
Oh. Well, it is. But here's the whole thing about these kinds of things. Doesn't something like this come and go? I mean, I
hope so.
I remember the whole Iran-Contra thing that came out. There was a documentary or there's a big thing that came out. It was probably 14, 15 years ago now, the whole...
Now we spent a month of mourning for Ronald Reagan.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was like... And everything in it, I'm sure, was true. And everyone looked at it and went, eh, all right. And then everyone just got back to whatever it is they were doing. You know, you got bullfighting. Right. You got, you know, criticizing your government.
It's like supersize. It's like supersize me.
Yeah.
I'm going back to McDonald's probably 2 or 3 days from now.
Yeah.
It'll be all over.
I think... Everybody does that. I'm not so sure. In a way, it's a good thing, and in a way, it's a bad thing.
Yes, it's right. That's exactly what my reaction was. It was like, I'm glad somebody's asking questions. I'm glad people are documenting this, but I'm not sure I trust the public, and I'm not sure the history will be kind to this. Or I don't know. It worries me. It worries me how we're going to react to it. It's not that I don't trust the public. It worries what we're going to do with it.
Yeah.
What is that going to mean?
All right, but here's as people. I mean, when you think about these, you know, you take governments that are much more corrupt than ours, and this has been going on for centuries, and nobody really does. Yeah, at the end of the day, you worry about your kids, you worry about your house not burning down, and you want to supersize your crap.
Asking myself Corolla questions.
Stab a bull or two.
No, I asked myself Corolla questions at the end of the film, like, what would they have done if this had happened to them, the other guys?
Right.
And if they had some nuclear weapons and a lot of military, what would happen to us?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, it'd be bad times.
Be very bad.
Yeah.
Worse times than it is for them.
Say what you will about this country, but everyone just close your eyes and picture us swapping places with Cuba. Cuba's, you know, 90 miles off the coast. They have a military that could destroy ours with just out. Barely breaking a sweat, and don't agree with our politics. Don't like our government. How fast before they just came over and just completely took us over?
Yeah.
I mean, well, why we haven't turned? You know, why we haven't done something about Cuba shows what pussies we actually are. I mean, if you really think about it, Cuba, horrible place, nice piece of real estate. You know, put a few golf courses a few more casinos. Let the mafia get in there. Oh, yeah, Castro. You know, here's the thing about it. People trying. First off, anyone trying to get to Cuba, it's a nice place. I mean, Drew's been there.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
It's a beautiful place. Beautiful. I mean, it's
the people are
the setting's great.
It's beautiful.
Great setting, right?
Beautiful.
All right. Now Castro's been in power for 40 years, right?
Now it looks like Atlantis. It looks like it's sunk into the ocean.
Yeah, driving cars that 50s. Were built in the 40s the 50s, and 50s.
It looks like Paris, circa Roman times.
Yeah.
It just decayed. It's falling apart.
Falling apart.
It's scary. It's really
right.
It's a horrible look at. But we did this with Panama and Grenada.
Yeah.
You know, we did step in there.
Yeah.
All right. I'm just saying, how about we just go over there and throw Castro out? Well, why not?
He's got to die soon. I mean, he's been around.
He's never died.
Is it Ruben?
But look, it's like he had...
Ruben Blades?
The next one coming in is crazy.
Castro had his big brother in the Soviet Union that was backing him up, watching after him the whole time. They're gone. They're crumbled. Let's just go in there and toss him into the ocean.
You should see the city. Havana's in it's shambles, crumbling, except this one corner where this giant skyscraper rises out of the cinders. That's the Russian embassy.
Russian embassy. Okay.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Huge. That's empty now. Completely empty.
So we can't go in there because Michael Moore will make a movie, and whoever it's a great idea, but someone will be punished.
The Vandals will get trashed because of it.
Yeah,
if you go in there.
Yeah,
yeah. All right, I'm just
big hit though. They have a big hit.
I'm just saying. We got here a big
hit. Happier subject.
Wouldn't everyone in Cuba like us to go in there and toss Castro out?
It's hard
Everybody.
To say.
Everybody.
It's hard to say.
Why are they trying to swim here?
Because all the ones that really want to get out are out.
And no.
Well, I mean,
no.
A lot of them are out.
No, they can't, but they can't make it.
A lot
it.
Of them are brainwashed. A lot of them think it's the greatest thing. And they really,
they're climbing into their crappy cars and going back to their, you know, thatch roof.
The cars
huts.
Are really cool now, though.
Well, yeah, they're cool now.
Yeah.
Because it's the old retro thing. Yeah, I don't think they're car show 50s cars,
It looks like the beginning of Happy Days in there.
No, you're thinking American Graffiti.
Oh, okay.
This is different. Think old shopping carts.
Yeah.
And by the way, you want to know a bad sign? Bad sign when they have that stick on top of your shopping cart so you can't get it out of the market.
Yeah, you're in the wrong neighborhood.
That's a bad market.
Yeah.
That's bad. I went to one of those last week, and I thought, oh, my God, I'm in the wrong. You know where I was?
Right.
I was in North Hollywood. That's where I grew up. I saw the piece of rigid conduit that had been hose clamped to the side of the thing.
You got to explain that because the rest of the country doesn't have stuff like this.
Oh, really? Because I'm moving then.
Yeah.
It's really the club for shopping carts. It's the closest they have to, like, low jack.
How do you load
your
car?
Here's the thing.
Like, shopping carts are to load your car, right?
In crappy neighborhoods. I oftentimes see people pushing shopping carts miles from the store. Like, hey, you know, I live in Burbank. I shop in Pacoima, and I push the shopping cart 28 miles. That is essentially my car. And then they leave it off somewhere around, and you know, it's $200 a pop for those things. They're steel, they're chrome, ball-bearing wheels, the whole thing. And then some schmuck's got to drive around his pickup truck collecting them.
That's a job.
So they're expensive. Now, at nice markets, people don't push them all the way home because they have Land Rovers out in the parking lot. You go to the Gelson's, they got the Land Rover out there. The guy has, chick has her maid push it in there and unload the thing, whatever. Crappy markets, they leave. And when they leave, they keep going. There's no car for them to go to. So they put these sticks on them, and they're really usually just pieces of rigid steel conduit, or it's EMT, it's electric magnetic tubing, they call it. And they use hose clamps, and they just clamp it to the side of the thing, and it makes it 10 foot high, and the door's 8 foot. So you can't actually push the cart out the door.
How long did you try? That's what I want to know.
Well, I got a pretty good head of steam going at one point and was able to get the front part of it, but it wedged on me. Here's what I would do. Here's how I would say, look, I would just post a sign that says, we got a sniper on the roof. Here's the thing, people. Push it out to your car, push it whatever. But if you turn the corner and start heading down the street, one warning shot. The first shot will be a warning shot. Second one, that's right. That's the hat goes backwards. When the hat goes backwards, that means you're going down. So if you are going to actually try to push your groceries home, do it in a serpentine fashion.
And fast,
yeah. Really be right. All right. Hey, we should hear Vandal
song. Okay.
Why not?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Already?
Yeah. You want to hear this big hit?
Yeah, it's time.
This is a song Warren sings.
Yes, I get to sing.
You might recognize it from if you were a big Freddie Mercury fan. But it's a first airplay we've gotten in 20 years, and we're loving it. It's going all over the country. So thank you, people who do call stations and stuff like that.
It's called Don't Stop Me Now.
Tonight I'm going to have myself a real good time. I feel alive. Ha, ha, ha. And the world turned it inside out and floated around in ecstasy. Don't stop me now. Don't stop me. Having a good time. Having a good time. Rock shooting star dancing through the sky like a tiger defying the laws of gravity. I'm a racing car.
Yeah, the Vandals, everybody. Warren and Joe in the studio tonight. Hollywood Potato Chip, name of the CD, coming out on the 29th, right?
June 29th.
June 29th. That's a
couple Tuesdays from now.
Yeah, a couple Tuesdays from now. All right. And Tuesday's the day they all come out, right?
Yes.
All right. I don't know who decided that, but that's how it works.
You don't want it on Monday because no one shows up at work that day.
Yeah.
Tuesday.
Tuesday's the official day. I mean, like, yeah, if you tried to release on a Wednesday, you couldn't do it?
Oh, there'd be chaos.
That's what I figured.
The world will reel off its axis.
Yeah.
Jennifer?
Yes.
You're 25?
Yes.
What's up?
I wanted to know, because it's hard for me when I have anal sex. Mm-hmm. I had it one time with my husband, and that was a long time ago. And every time I try now, it hurts. So I wanted to know, what the heck do the gay guys do that they can do it so much?
Let me take this.
First of all, they don't do it so much.
Oh.
They tend to do a lot of oral sex. They don't do a lot of anal.
That's what I hear.
I heard, like, I don't know, is that like a rumor, but vinaigrette that, helps
it? Who's the guy next to putting her up to this?
Huh?
Yeah. Wait, hold on a second. Her line's so horrible. Yeah. She does what with vinaigrette?
I mean, what?
Joe's the expert.
Okay. Salad tossing thing.
Okay, it used to be a creamy Italian thing, and then like in the late 90s, vinaigrette became popular in a lot of the restaurants in Hollywood. Yeah, the balsamic thing. Paul Newman.
Yeah. I mean, here's the whole thing. God bless him for trying things repeatedly that are painful. And here's the whole thing. I can try things that are painful around the forehead or elbow area, but the anus, I get one shot. If I don't like it, I walk, and I never look back. That's my anus policy. Like, I don't keep going back to that well.
It's almost counterintuitive why one would.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could see you try it. See, maybe you like it. Maybe it flips your cookie. But if it doesn't, Jennifer, then it's not. Maybe it's not your thing.
Does it? Like,
who's the guy putting
does
up
it change things when you have babies? Does it change things down there? Like, I don't know, about elasticity?
Once in a while, the vagina and the anus will connect via a horrible rip, and then that makes it easier to get in. You know what I mean?
And that's easier to get out.
Yeah, it's like you're having vaginal and anal intercourse, you know, simultaneously.
It's called a third-degree tear.
Yeah.
That's what happens to women very often when they first deliver. If they don't get an episiotomy, the whole thing tears. The vagina tears, and sometimes it will tear all the way into the rectum. It's not it's not that uncommon.
Yeah. They got to put that tear so it doesn't
they gotta cut it so it doesn't tear.
Yeah, because if it tears, it might keep going.
It keeps going, yeah.
So you've got to do like a relief.
It's a control burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In construction, we may call that an expansion joint.
It's an expansion joint.
Otherwise, it's
funny enough,
crack.
That's what the gynecologists call it, too.
All right.
So that's like the same muscle?
Yes. Well, it's not exactly the same, but it's the same general area, obviously. It's the perineal muscles and the pubic sigmoid. But the deal is this, Jennifer. You're going to have enough trouble with that area function as you get older without piling on, as we might say.
Yeah. Is your husband really pushing this issue?
No, I don't think so.
That's why it's been like 5 years.
Yeah, but that's fine. Maybe it's something you don't want to get back to.
Is your husband anxious to do this?
Not really.
All right, good.
You've got to keep trying and just see what happens.
Right.
Yeah, he says that 24 times a day.
he wants to keep trying and see what happens?
Yeah, but he doesn't really push it, you know, and I tried to, but it doesn't work.
All right, forget it.
Well, maybe it wasn't meant to be. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Anal holiday.
Here's the whole thing. My whole thing is if you have an anus, set it free. If it comes back,
if it was never yours in the first
place. Whose retarded adage was that?
That
people writing songs about that and stuff. It's like, if you love something, man, you set it free. If it comes back, man, then it means, it's like, huh, what? Look, if you got a bird and you just open up the cage and throw it out the window, you never see the bird again, ever.
Yeah,
no bird.
That is
no
almost, you know, sort
what
of central in the pathology of the 60s, right?
Yeah,
it was all delusional, weird delusional, like, man, everything's perfect the way it is, so just you let go and see what happens.
Look, you take most cats, most dogs, most birds,
set
most everything,
free,
and
gone.
Just put them on the other side of the yard and shut the gate. A couple hours later, you'll never see them again.
By the way, it's relatively true of humans that attachments need to be worked on.
Yeah,
they're
man.
Not things that you just let go of and expect them just to magically sustain. They
I'm
don't.
Thinking about setting you free, Drew.
Oh, man.
And if you come back, it was meant to be.
I got a good anal game to play. It's Safer. There's a band on my label called Ozma, and they play this game when they're on tour. Mm-hmm. Every time you see a car, you think of a car, you put the word anal in front of it, and it's fun.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Anal probe.
Oh, yeah, probes. Huge.
Anal Land Cruiser. Think of one.
Right, okay.
Excursion.
Anal Excursion.
Yeah, that's Prius. Strong.
Anal Prius.
Anal Explore.
It's fun.
A good one. Yeah.
It's safe.
Anal Land Cruiser.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Anal goofy. Beetle.
Do Land Cruiser.
Anal Bug, yeah.
Anal Bug.
Anal Mustang is good, too. That's good. They're all good. Once in a while, there's Anal Camaro, but for the most part, Anal Firebird, by the way. Something Indians worshipped one time.
Anal Mini.
Anal Cooper.
Anal Cooper. Anal Jag. Yeah. Trying to think what works. There's a new one called The Vibe.
Anal Vibe.
Pontiac Vibe. Yeah,
Anal Vibe. Escalade.
Yeah.
You know, sounds good.
Yeah. They, one of the, there's the Aztec, which is a crappy thing that Pontiac builds. Yeah. The Anal Aztec. Sounds like a children's book that's gone terribly wrong.
Anal May Back.
Started off down, but turned somewhere along the line. Laura?
Yes?
You're 26?
Yes, sir.
What's up?
I had a question about nocturnal emissions.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a name for the female equivalent, and why don't people talk about it?
Women don't have them as reliably or as predictably as men because testosterone drives that. And also men develop, you know, they accumulate a fluid that if they don't release on their own, God will release for them. And women don't have that, yet they still have high levels of arousal and things some of them do and can have spontaneous orgasms during
Plus
the night, but
may,
much less so than men.
They may have them and not know it as much, too. I mean, a woman's actual orgasm is sort of like, okay, here's what I'm saying. Once in a while, you have an orgasm in your sleep as a guy, but nothing comes out. Ever had that?
Is that
I've had that before.
A partial orgasm.
It's sort of the equivalent to whatever else happens in your dreams that doesn't actually happen.
Yeah.
Getting shot or wet in your bed, which actually doesn't work
happens.
Out too good. Yeah. No, here's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. But
sometimes in your dream, you wet your bed. And it's dry when you get up, and sometimes, or you're taking a leak, mm-hmm. and you don't wet your bed, and sometimes in your dream, you take a leak, and your bed's wet.
But just
this
think
happens
of,
with orgasms but, once in a while,
think
too.
Of the percentage of women at sort of prime, spontaneous, high levels of arousal and hormones. How many of them don't have orgasms under any circumstances?
Yeah.
As compared to men who are all having them regularly. The math works out for the men.
I'm just saying, too, yes, but I'm also saying that a woman's orgasm in real life is sort of like the one we experience in a dream where nothing comes out.
Yeah.
What about that?
Yeah.
Huh, come on, that's heavy. What
that's
do you
heavy,
mean?
Dude.
Yeah.
What if you have, yeah.
Hey, like, I'm going to set you free, dude. Like, and don't come back. No, but you know what I'm saying? Like, if you're a woman and you produce nothing for your orgasm, I mean, yeah, it's a sensation, but there's actual no physical manifestation of your orgasm. It's just it's a very, you know, cosmic sensation that runs through your body. That is sort of. I've had orgasms in my dreams that felt that way, but nothing came out onto the sheets.
Right.
I'm guessing that for a lot of women who produce nothing, that's sort of the equivalent.
If they're going to have them, yeah.
Yeah. And I think they could have them in their sleep more easily than we could because of the plumbing problem. Do you know what I'm saying?
Maybe.
They can do it.
For those that are, and we know that their brain has much more of an impact on their orgasmic function.
Yeah, and I think I would go further and say that some women who can have it when they're awake
might probably have
a better shot of the sensation when they're asleep, but I don't think it goes down as a wet dream because nothing came out.
Maybe.
I think they had a sexy dream.
Maybe.
Whereas we have wet dreams.
Yeah.
All right. Fly away, bird. And come back.
Anal Yugo.
Yeah. That's the... Anal Yugo. All right. The Vandals in studio tonight. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, buddy. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number. 1-800-LOVE-191. Joan Warren here tonight from the Vandals.
Yeah.
Hollywood Potato Chip, name of the CD coming out in, let's see, a week from this Tuesday. That's right, about 9 days or so. Am I boring you, Drew?
Well, listen, Adam, you know well that I have a conditioned response to your voice.
That's right.
I begin yawning immediately as soon as I hear it.
Big hippo-sized yawns,
yes,
too.
Yes, it starts... what was his name again?
I don't know, but that was a caller from last week.
Yeah, world class.
Yeah.
He provided the background ambiance for the show.
And the people, when they call and they fall asleep before they get in the air? Yeah. I love when that happens.
Yeah. He was on hold for like 96 minutes. And, you know, sometimes if you're calling from the East Coast and by the time we get around to you,
two in the morning.
It's getting late, you know. And I have that nasally drone that's sort of soothing and annoying at the same time. But we'll put a big man to sleep.
That's when he expired right there.
Oh, there he goes. There he goes. And you know this guy swears to his roommate he doesn't snore.
He's mad at his roommate for even bringing it up.
Dude, I heard you snore. I don't snore, dude. Now drop it. I just love the I don't snore denial guy. Yeah.
People get really sensitive about that. It's weird.
They get weird. Look, there's two people in the room. One of them is unconscious. The other one says, hey, you know what you do when you're unconscious? And the unconscious one says, no, I don't.
I'm one of those people.
It's very threatening.
I don't believe I snore.
You know what else? I trust another thing. If you tell somebody to sleep with their eyes open, they get very upset about
that.
I do not. How dare you?
Who the hell's a dead? Only dead like,
isn't
some
it?
People sleep
do
with
your
their
eyes get
eyes
dry
open.
From that? That can't be
some,
healthy.
Some people.
Yeah, it looks.
But some people sleep with their eyes open.
Yeah, I've
really?
Seen that.
Yeah. It looks weird, yeah.
Wow, eerie. Scared to beat off.
With the person in the room, yeah.
Take a glance over there. But no.
It'd be funny. It's like you do that hand wave in front of them. Then about 20 strokes into it, they go, yeah, I was away. Hey, look, if you weren't trying to do it on me, I would leave you alone. But...
Very close.
Yeah.
Back to the picture.
Yeah, I would... I would get kind of. I think I'd have to put something over them, like in movies when they're when the guy dies on the side of the highway, they just pull that blanket up over him. I also like in the movies where they very effortlessly close the eyes of the dead person.
Oh my God.
With almost a sweep. They don't even actually make contact with the person's head. They just kind of do that. They do that. He's dead. He's looking up, and they do that hand sweep.
Let
like the hand
here
of
to
God.
Tell you that eyelids and mouths. Are like kind of like silly putty-ish, except they don't hold their position when they have no muscle tone.
Yeah,
it's just like moving around.
I'd like to see a movie where they honestly address that, where it was clumsy, like the guy hand went over the
it's
face.
It's not clumsy;
like,
you can't even do it.
So you're saying it wouldn't work.
It works, but you have to really kind of position.
They never
things.
Do it. It's just
it's
the
not, it's not
the
this.
Guy
it's...
looks down and he says, "I'm going to miss you, brother." And he does the one hand sweep and both eyes closed. I'd like one where one was closed, but the other stayed open. He had to fight with it a little bit.
And he closes one and the other one opens.
And he had to get in and use things like his car keys and stuff to like try to.
It's weird. It's
and
weird.
Then the mouth popped open, tried to shut that again.
Yes.
Eventually got some duct tape out. It was a disaster.
You have to really kind of position things in hopes it holds.
I just like that move. It's that sweep.
Yeah, like they do it every day.
They do that, yeah. Kayla?
Yeah?
15?
Yeah.
What's up, baby doll?
I was wondering, like, if you were sexually abused or raped or something, and you have sex and it hurts or you feel dirty or something like that, you know?
Yeah, you should have all kinds of funny feelings about being sexually active if you had been sexually
abused. But, like,
abused.
If you go through therapy after you have sex, will it stop?
It can get a lot better. At least you can feel safe and begin to start experiencing yourself without feeling bad or dirty as a sexual person, without that part of you being sort of expelled.
The screen here says your dad used a vibrator on you.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Was he, you know, an alcoholic or drug addict or, you know, did he have a brain tumor or something?
He's just a normal guy.
No, we wouldn't put that on the normal spectrum.
Well, I mean, normal as far as
everybody else is concerned.
Things go.
Yeah, because that is as effed up as it gets.
Yeah.
How old were you?
First time he used a vibrator on me, I think I was like 8.
Wow.
And this is your biological father.
Yeah.
Anderson, well, how does she answer that when we can't hear a thing?
Phone line cuts in and out.
Yes.
And only we can't hear it.
She said yes.
Great setup. Anderson, ask her how long she's been in
She can hear us.
Is she there? Did she hang up?
No, she can hear us.
Okay.
But it never goes on the fritz this long.
It's when she starts talking again, it should come back, I bet. There she is. She's back. Right, Kayla?
Yeah.
See?
No, it's not
she
that
said
way.
Yes.
It cuts off all the time when they start talking, Drew.
No. But I'm just saying she's back, though. Yes, it will cut off again.
Yeah, but her talking doesn't trigger anything. Mm-hmm. It's intermittent.
This is the kind of abuse she was talking about. Just
what he's issuing towards me?
Yeah,
no doubt.
All right, so let's try to figure this out. Kayla.
Yeah.
She's the guest.
Okay.
We can hear her. We hear her now.
So your father, what do you do for a living? Some kind of construction?
He owns a business. Yeah.
Owns a business. What kind of business?
Music business.
Oh, geez.
Really?
Getting bizarre with Anderson repeating everything.
Anderson, when were you abused?
We'll tell you, Anderson, we can't hear.
Tonight. Okay. All right.
By you.
Okay. So, and now, what kind of counseling did you do, Kayla, or did you?
I've been through counseling, but not for this.
Yeah, you got it. And where's your dad now? Is him and your mom divorced?
Yeah, they're divorced.
They're divorced. And does your mom know what went on?
No.
I think you ought to tell her.
Yeah.
You need to tell her so she can get you some help.
And, Dad, I mean, okay, first off, this is a sober dad. It's almost unfathomable.
Messed up sober dad, yeah.
Yeah, but.
Music industry.
His family's messed up.
His family's messed up?
Yeah, like his brother, one of his brothers is in jail for child molestation.
Yeah.
And his other brother, he is a very sexual man. I don't know that he's done anything with his children, but...
Well, guess what? Grandpa is the one to look to here.
Somebody...
Yeah.
Great-grandpa.
Goose them. Yeah. It's great. All right, so, Kayla, sorry for what your dad did to you, although you sound pretty intact.
Yeah, the treatment, whatever therapy you've had, has done something good for you, so keep it up.
Yeah, and
we can tell just by how you make us feel. You're not getting into the kind of chaos that you would probably be tempted to get involved with.
Yeah, and listen, everybody, please. I know we don't hear this on the radio that much, but when you think it's a good idea to take a vibrator to your 8-year-old daughter, how about just taking a gun to yourself? Just put a bullet in your head. Would you please?
Problems, yeah.
It's first off,
better move.
You'll be happier dead. Believe you me.
Because it's only your kids and family. Everybody else.
The kids will dance a jig on your grave. It'll be great. We might make it into a national holiday. You'll have a Reagan-sized funeral if people find out. But you got to get the word out. I was going to take a vibrator to my daughter. Instead, I took a .44 to my head. Now, my body can be shown at the... There'll be a library named after me. It's important to put that in the note, though. Yeah. Don't just think you were depressed when you killed yourself. But seriously, kill yourself. You really should just kill yourself.
Go ahead and don't do it if you can.
I don't want to take any chances.
Might do something else.
Yeah, you might do something else stupid. Just kill yourself. It's not that big a deal. You're not doing anything. What are you doing? You know what I mean? You're doing something important?
Yeah, like we need another musician?
Right. We need you.
Someone in the music biz, yeah.
Right. Another out-of-work musician? Screw that. I just put a bullet in your head. That's fine. And it doesn't matter. You could be a musician, could be an attorney, could be a street cleaner. It doesn't matter. If you want to do something weird to your daughter, put a bullet in your head. That's fine. We'll just move on. There'll be one less screwed up person. And by the way, your legacy
will not go on.
Yeah. You will, just like you became the product of your horrible childhood, you'll not create more product. Now, Kayla did sound intact for someone who's been through what she's been through. And you can have normal relationships and everything. It just becomes work. It becomes like somebody who has diabetes or something.
Or like a limb missing or something, and then you've got to get around.
Well, I was thinking of more diabetes because it means you got to get in your diet, you got to get in your dialysis, you got to monitor. Right. It's like a constant thing. Now, ultimately, you might end up being more healthy than regular people because of the constant monitoring and the constant work. It's like somebody says you're going to have to exercise, you're going to have to eat a lot of fiber, you're going to have to watch this and take that. At the end of the day, maybe you end up being better.
Better off for you, yeah, than you might have been. Yeah,
right.
Do you think the fact that it's Father's Day has any like big impact for someone who has that kind of a situation? Like,
why she brought it up?
Maybe why she called today?
Yeah. Anybody, well, it can't be great. It's got to conjure something.
It's
got to
be an unpleasant day in your mind. Like,
yeah. For me, the hard part about Father's Day is the dads and grads part. I never did get my high school diploma, and whenever the grads thing comes up, it hurts. It stings a little bit.
The dads and grad sales?
The grads.
Oh, the grads part.
Yeah, the grads part. Dads, you know, no biggie, but the grads, that's a twist of the knife. It's a slap in the face. I never did pick up the diploma.
Saying get back to school.
Yeah.
He had a library book. Library book was outdated.
It wasn't a library book. It was a
textbook that was issued.
It was We the People. Ah. Yeah, they used to make a big deal over the textbooks. I don't know. Does this still go on? Like, first off, huge deal about covering your books.
Oh,
got to cover that book. Got to cover the book. I'm just like, why do I got to cover the book? You can buy a book cover, or we got this thing where we make it out of a garbage bag. And, you know, like a brown paper bag. And I always hated those kids. I mean, the book looked like it was crisp and brand new. They'd make the cover out of a supermarket brown garbage bag, and it was like spotless.
Yeah. I had Van Halen.
My whole thing is just get rid of the stinking cover. It just falls off and all kinds of stuff. The other thing they would do is they would grade the book when they gave it to you, and then grade it when they got it. So it's like, it was always a little controversy. Like, when they gave it to you, you wanted the lower grade, and when you gave it back, you wanted the higher grade. And they'd be like, this is a B+, We the People. And they're like, B+, that's a C, if I ever saw a C, We the People. No, that's B+. And then you give it back, and it's a D. And I would just lose the thing, and I owed the book room $19, and they wouldn't give me my diploma.
That's so, it? That's
oh,
the
so you
story?
Did graduate, but you didn't get the diploma.
I did graduate, but I didn't get the diploma. And as it turns out, I have never used the diploma. I've never filled out an application. I never had a job. In radio, by the way, I think it's you're penalized the more you're educated. Yeah. They don't like that. And the two fields I was in, was
you listening, Chris? This is winced like it hurt him.
Radio.
It's like, oh, those classes at junior college. Damn.
Oh, he's 27. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, but he thinks the education is going to help him in radio.
Yeah, but he's in junior college. He's not getting an education. He's hanging out at a snack shack.
He thinks he's playing over.
Sack. Yeah, you know, don't worry about that. No, they don't care about that.
He has to get up at noon on Wednesdays, Adam.
Oh, yeah, he's got that early class on Wednesday. Set the alarm. No, the class starts at noon. He has to set the alarm for like 11:10, 11:15.
You're right.
All right, we got to take a break. He's angry.
Break time.
The Vandals are here tonight. Yeah, well, here's how he does it. It's a mere 3 hours after his poor mom leaves for work that he has to wake up and head in for his beginning outdoor
first
class.
Job, by the way.
All right, we're going to. You should have never told us you lived at home. You should have. Okay, made two big mistakes. You said you lived at home, and then you said you went to junior college. Those were. You should have said you were living. You're in Cambridge, going to Harvard. And that you commuted to do the radio show. I wouldn't ask any more questions. I don't even know where it is. We'll take ourselves a quick break. We'll be right back after this. Hey, hello. Hey, everybody. Phone number 1-800-LVE-191. Dr. Drew over here. Joe and Warren here tonight from the Vandals. Got themselves a new CD out called Hollywood Potato Chip. And there's a fascinating story behind the title of the new Vandals CD. Yes,
which Warren? Can't wait to tell you.
I don't know if it's fascinating, but yeah.
I call it fascinating.
Well, I was fortunate enough in high school to get my hands on an actual pornographic magazine a friend of mine had. And
congratulations.
Yeah, it was. I mean, that's like gold. Mm-hmm. You got to be 18 to buy it legally.
Right.
Where'd you hide it?
At my friend's house.
Your friend's.
It was his friend.
That's always the comical part, where the 16-year-old male hides his friend.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no clever hiding spots in your bedroom at your house with your mom. But, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't dig a hole in the backyard or anything?
No, not that weird. But yeah, there were some interesting terms in there, and Hollywood potato chip was one of the terms they'd use in there for protein secretion, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Like a stain.
Male protein.
Male protein.
Excuse me, male protein,
and
yes. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, it
kind left of behind.
It, yeah, left behind, dried, resembling a potato chip, Hollywood potato chip.
On a casting couch.
On a casting couch, quite often.
Yes. Or maybe a shirt.
Those were typically
Joe. Joe didn't want to tell the story on the air, but was forced to.
When it fell apart, I feel
yes,
I have
thank
to
you,
step
thank
in.
You.
Yeah, could have been part of. So Warren is here, either an idiot or diabolical. I'm not sure.
He's good. He's good at his job.
I think he's good. I think this may just be good. He actually forced Joe to tell his story.
And we've been in a band together for 15 years. He knows how to
Well, it is easier, you know. It's like memorizing the first. Like you remember the first part of the phone number, I'll remember the second part. It is easy to hang back and realize where the person has left a little gaping hole. I do that with Drew constantly.
Constantly.
All right, let's go to the phones and speak to Lloyd, who's 25. Lloyd?
Yes.
You're 25. What's happening?
Well, I haven't had sex for a while and been jacking off, you know, every day, a few times a day, morning, night, whatever. And
dude, you beat off?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's Josh.
Mm-hmm.
That's Josh.
That was Josh.
Oh, yeah. That was Josh Friesen.
Last weekend.
Oh, it was? What?
Yeah.
No, I think it was
no. That was Josh.
No, that wasn't Dr. Marcel.
I recognize that.
Anderson? Anderson?
No,
I remember when he did it.
Settle this one. Huh?
Yeah, I do remember when he did it, too.
I thought it was somebody from Lit.
It could have been.
No.
It was a band member.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I was sitting next to him when he said it.
Play it again.
Dude, you beat off?
Yeah, that's Josh. That's Josh.
Josh. Dr. Marcel.
It sounds like Marcel, doesn't it?
It's Bruce. It's Dr. Bruce.
No, it sounds like Marcel.
All right.
I agree. It probably wouldn't be Marcel.
Do you have any with Dave Quackenbush, our singer, so he can be here, too?
Yeah. Do you got anything?
No, I thought he was like running for governor or something. Quackenbush.
David Quackenbush. No, if you go to his website, he linked to from vandals.com to davidquackenbush.com, and it's like, yeah, it's a senator, an insurance guy or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's not him.
The insurance commissioner.
Yeah.
That was Chuck Quackenbush.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
We're
all
going to get a nice rebate check coming out.
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Dude, you beat off?
Pass that thing in like 86.
Oh, yeah, and I have sex with my brother.
All right.
That was Lit.
Lloyd?
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's all right. All right, well, last weekend I had sex, and actually I had sex three times before I was able to actually ejaculate.
Mm-hmm.
And
too much emptying the pipes.
Three separate times, like on three different days?
No, in one night it was once, and she made me stop, and then again she made me stop, and then finally the third time I was able to do it.
Well, that's not... I don't know if that's sex three different times because you don't have an orgasm. But I'd say if she made you stop after half an hour, I'll call it sex three different times. How long did it take her to get you to stop?
It was probably about a half hour. We stopped, we took a break, then did it again.
Mm-hmm.
So it just took you a long time to have orgasm.
Were you drinking?
I'm sorry? No, I don't drink.
Are you on any medication?
No.
What do you do during the breaks?
I'm sorry? We smoke a cigarette. That was
okay.
It.
All right. Now
what is relax.
Yeah. Now you beat off constantly. What position are you in when you beat off?
Laying down.
Laying down on your back.
Yes.
And then when you're with her, are you on top of her?
Yeah, all different positions.
All right, but here's the whole thing. Your balls have a gyro in them that can get thrown off if there's one direction and then just get flipped over, and all of a sudden they're the other direction. Like you beat off. You're on your back the whole time. And by the way, you know, when you're a guy and you're 25, you may have 27,000 beat-off sessions versus 92 sessions with a woman. you know what I mean? I mean, your balls are facing, God, quite frankly, for most of your orgasm sessions. And then all of a sudden, you flip them over, they're facing the devil. Because that's the direction the devil is, because he's in hell.
Traditionally.
And so now it's confusing, and you can't have that orgasm because you're used to being on your back with your legs stretched out in front of you, and now you're in a push-up position trying to have one, and it ain't happening.
Well, Drew, can you tell me if this is true? This is bad?
For some people, it's true.
I trust you, but I want
to... No, it's certain guys that are particularly...
Noted.
it's guys that masturbate a lot and where they customize themselves to a particular experience, and, need that. Adam frequently says, sex is good, it's just not the real thing.
Would pornography be a factor in that? The pornography, would that be a factor?
I bet it would.
There are probably a lot of psychological factors that come to bear. Yeah.
But it's not bad for you, you might have trouble performing.
It's just a technique that Adam has honed.
I'm telling young Lloyd that you are going to have to learn to have yourself not only on your back, but standing up in the shower, doing the grab a knee. That's a going just a one knee down, like Pop Warner beat off. You know, okay, guys, break it down. Break it down. Grab a knee now. You know, that one. Yeah?
Take a knee.
What's that?
Another thing was, I was wondering, because when I would jack off, I would keep it in and not make a mess. Would that affect anything?
Get on your knees.
That's not good for you.
Yeah. Well, what is
retrograde ejaculation? Not
yeah. Keep it in and make a mess. How do you do that?
Not make a mess.
You can hold, squeeze it off. Basically, it's bad.
You can do that.
I really didn't even have to squeeze it off after a while anymore.
So you're getting retrograde ejaculation all the time. That's not.
I don't do that. Listen, Lloyd is going to start beating off in the shower.
Yeah.
That's it. Get used to.
How about a relationship with Lloyd, so he doesn't beat off all the time?
Well, he has a girl now. I guess. Don't hold anything in. Let it go. I understand not making a mess, but come on now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Use the bib. Use the paper towel bib.
I've never heard of that. Is that common? You're saying that's
not
common?
Not common, but it happens.
Sort of.
Is that like under the sheets trying to be like hot or something?
Some guys, no. It's guys just, I think guys get weirded out by themselves.
All right. We'll talk. We'll tell Warren how it does. I'll show him.
Where you're pushing
during the break. Yeah, the Vandals are here. I'll do a little retrograde test after this. Loveline, Adam, that's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. The Vandals are in here tonight.
Yes. Hi there.
Hollywood,
hi, everybody.
Hollywood Potato Chip, name of the CD. I went to the Playboy Jazz Festival yesterday.
Oh, yeah, how was that?
It's good.
I bet.
It's fun.
Did your dad like it?
It's hard to tell. Hard to tell when he enjoys things. But not sure. Hard to tell when he's alive, really. I had to poke him every once in a while. The good news is I got to drink. I brought a bottle of Dom Perignon champagne.
Nice.
And I got to drink the whole thing.
Oh boy.
He had a nip. He had a taste. It's beer to the Corolla. It's like, hey, Dad got a bottle of Dom. You want some? Okay, I have a little taste. And then pour him about 3/4 of an inch. And he drinks it. And 20 minutes later, want a little more in there, Dad? No, I'm good. It's $100. It's open. No. Just watching jazz. Yeah, I'm good. They're not drinkers, the Corollas. That's why I got to make up.
You are doing a good job.
Anal Corolla?
Anal Corolla.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Spelled differently.
I'm sorry.
Thank Christ. The thing that's funny about the Playboy Jazz Festival is at the Hollywood Bowl. Jazz is great. You can't go wrong with jazz. It's not like regular concert. If you don't know the song, you're kind of bummed out. You're like, when they go, here's one from our upcoming album that's going to be released. I hope you guys go out. You're like, oh, Christ. I never heard this song. I'm bummed out. Jazz is always like, when Wynton Marsalis starts going nuts on his trumpet, you just sit there and your mouth hangs open and you're like, this is great.
Here's a song that sounds like a guy trying to quit smoking.
Yeah, it is awesome.
Those people, I had to drive through the traffic today. My wife said, what's going on? What is going on out there? Look outside. I looked up because I was reading. I looked up for like 5 seconds. I saw 5 people and I go, I don't know. Looks like Playboy Jazz Festival people to me. But I didn't know that Playboy Jazz Festival was happening.
Yeah, it is. It's a huge thing. And the thing
you can just tell where they're going.
The thing that's funny is Bill Cosby hosts. But I don't know if you want to call it host because Bill Cosby sits in a folding chair like stage right, like deep stage right. And then when they're done, it's like, all right, that was Wynton Marsalis. Now welcome to stage, Eddie James. And he just leaves again. Like, he doesn't walk out in front of everybody, you know, in just between acts or whatever. He just sits. And you know what I thought, and I sort of appreciate? He's wearing, like sweatpants, but the pocketless kind, like the old school sweatpants.
Yeah.
White socks and sandals, and I just thought,
wow,
it's great when you get to a certain age where it's like, look, I'm going to be in front of 19,000 people. I'm wearing sandals, white socks, and sweatpants. Like, I got to be comfortable. I don't care if I got an audience with the Pope. I got to be comfortable.
Wow.
I don't care. I'm a legend. I don't care. I'm wearing sandals. Screw it. And socks, by the way, because it's actually more comfortable. Like, the only way I could pull these sandals off is if I didn't wear white socks with them, but screw it. And I'm not even going to put brown socks on so people from the fifth row back could think maybe that's a whole shoe I'm wearing. Nah, I'm wearing sandals, sweatshirt, screw it. Not me. It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
And as a performer, and you guys eventually will get to the stage, God forbid, nothing horrible happens and the band just keeps going on. Eddie James performs sitting down. That's when you arrive.
Yeah, that's a dream. Yeah,
you come out there in a chair, and you perform via a chair.
Yeah.
A lot of the great jazz greats, because those old things, I don't know what happens to your legs as a jazz singer, but something happens. It's usually some circulatory problem or something. But from, somewhere about your 12th album, you got to sit down. And you just perform sitting down. And I thought, that's... that's respect. That means you've arrived. Because there's a lot of bands where it's like, hey, I'm going to perform sitting down. No, you're not. Get out of here. We don't need you. But if you say, I'm going to perform, I'll be sitting, I'll need a chair, and they're like, oh, whatever you need, that means you're great. That means you got to hit legendary status in order to perform in a chair. The
Joe's
entire thing.
There.
Yeah, and singing jazz, too.
It's easier to play sitting down.
Stand up. Would you please? You haven't earned it right.
How about those Monday Night Football people? They stand up when they announce the whole game.
Do they?
You seen that? Whenever they show them, they're standing up. Why?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they must sit down, though, when the cameras go off. Well, maybe they don't. I think we would be better if we stood up, Drew.
Okay.
All right, let's try.
Yeah,
let's get up.
Let's see. Now you need to take a knee.
All right, grab a knee. Grab a knee, but don't sit. Just grab a knee. All right. Yeah. Well, see, Etta James doesn't play anything, I think. She just sings. And it's harder to sing sitting down, I would imagine.
Oh, yeah, you can't sing sitting down. They sing sitting down.
You got to be a jazz. You got to be jazz great. And you have to be heavy set. You know what I'm saying? All right. Drew, why don't you invent something that stands them up, but not really? You know what I'm talking about? You know what I'm talking about? Something that sort of hooks around their waist. They snap like a microphone stand for a person.
Those girdies that flip up when I used to teach.
Oh, a stroke chair.
Teach special ed. We had a lot of stroke chairs.
Yeah, give them a stroke chair.
Perfect.
Stroke chair.
That'd be a good name for a band, by the way. Stroke chair. Stroke cane would be a good name for a band, too. That's hardcore. You guys into stroke cane at all? Oh, yeah. Tyler?
Yeah.
15?
15.
What's up?
All right, I got a question for Joe. A long time ago, I was watching You're Sweating to the Oldies DVD, and I saw a preview for Selwyn's Nuts or Cake Boy, and he said it was going to be released soon, but I looked on kungfurecords.com and haven't found anything. I haven't found anything on Amazon or anything.
Yeah, we made a movie by ourselves. It's very hard to make a movie by yourself. We shot it on film.
I shot a
90-minute feature on film, written by Warren. Warren starred in it, and it took a long time, and we killed ourselves making it.
How much did it cost?
$29,000.
Wow. And on film. I thought that would be impossible to shoot on film for that budget.
It's nearly impossible, yeah.
There's a making of part of it. It will come out in the fall. It's all done. The DVD authoring's going on. There's kind of a documentary in it where the making of that just makes me look retarded for even doing it. Mm-hmm. I just look like Crumb.
Yeah. And what's the movie about?
Give the pitch. Yeah, it's about a baker who
You shouldn't have to pitch a movie for $29,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Making the movie.
It's done. I'll give the summary then. Yeah,
it's a baker.
A baker who works in an erotic cake shop.
Uh huh.
And is in an abusive relationship with the girl that beats the crap out of him. He leaves town to be a roadie for a punk rock band, and they abuse him. Then he falls in love with a girl in a wheelchair.
She abuses him.
Because she can abuse him. They have a good little relationship.
He abuses her then?
No. He's a very nice, not like a lot of people that call, I guess, or something. Like, he's actually very sincere, nice person.
She helps him realize his dreams.
His dream is to be the greatest baker in the world.
Uh-huh. But not of erotic.
No, that's slumming.
That's exactly. He's doing that.
And so he ends up making a cake for the queen or something, or what happens?
I don't want to give it away, but
Iron Chef-ish.
Iron Chef-like bake-off at the end. And of course, like any great movie, he doesn't win, but he still wins.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Cake Boy.
Yeah.
This
Cake Boy wins with the heart.
Wow.
That was a good question. That guy did his homework, and it is a question we get a long time, because you make a movie, and where is it? Where's your damn movie you were making?
And your cast? Did you just get people that were in, like...
We had real actors, actually.
Kyle Gass from Tenacious D.
Sure.
Patton Oswalt, Bob Odenkirk.
Sure. Brian Posehn.
Sheila Platt.
Those guys are all like...
Pam Gidley?
There's no budget. Count me in.
Yeah.
It seems harder core.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They're all about keeping the street cred, which is me.
You don't work for money. That's you.
But during the day, we had to make money. I don't know. I started a long time ago, but then to make money, I make actual concert DVDs, and that's what pays the bills, because that's what kids want to see.
The thought bubble over his head is a picture of the movie with all the different slices taken out by each of those actors.
Yeah.
Kids want to see rock bands on a DVD. That's what kids want. That's why we have this Warped Tour DVD.
Do you physically you should have plugged that an hour ago. Do you physically go out and shoot these and edit them and put them together?
Yeah, I would be what would be considered the director. I got a crew of eight to nine cameras. Mm-hmm. And we have a 24-track hard drive recording system. Warren mixes the live sound.
Mixes a lot of the audio.
I used to edit them myself, and then before I started realizing I shouldn't kill myself, and now I have, you know, now it's like, you know, it's a supervising.
Do you shoot it on film?
All the concerts are shot on 24p digital video, which is which looks better than anything I've ever shot on film.
Wow!
But the features we've done are on film.
Let me say this. You know, I think I saw some special not too long ago on NFL Films, and mm-hmm. how they started off by just taking little handheld cameras and a handful of guys and run around the sidelines and stuff like that, and of course turned into a multi-million-dollar industry. This could be that eventually, could it not? I mean, I know there are other guys who film concerts, but if you could be the guys who did the
best,
whatever.
I'm definitely already the best. Kung Fu Records has about 20 concert DVDs, either out or in the... We did the Social Distortion one last year, but we did it for them, like, as a production company, but we've released, we got about 20. And then the nearest other label has about 3.
Right.
So it's what we do. And then in the meantime, we put out the Vandals. And
do you get a contract that says, we're going to do the Warp Tour for the next 5 years?
No, I'm next 1 year. And then and that's how that worked.
Yeah.
Next 1 year.
But then when it came out, they liked it so much, they definitely want, you know.
Right.
No one can compete with that thing. That thing looks, that's a monster to make.
Can you try to go get Ozfest? Do you want to do it?
No,
you know
it's,
what I mean?
I don't want to.
Lollapalooza?
We come from the punk rock world, you know. First and foremost, and I don't want to deal with those metalheads. The punk rock world is hard enough. There's probably 30 or 40 lawyers involved in that project alone. Mm-hmm. That's a crime.
Right.
But it would be worse in the metal world.
Oh,
why?
Yeah.
Why? It'd be 300 lawyers. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, put it this way. Ozfest, how much are tickets? $65 million. And the Warped Tour, they're $25. It's just a different world that I prefer to stay in as long as possible.
That's a different ethic, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I still want to kill myself after finishing that thing.
Yeah. And, you know, right? They're not chasing the buck. Well, here's the thing about the punk rock world. Even if you are chasing the buck, you got to pretend like you're not. So you can be like a hot chick who hooks up with an ugly dude, even though you're not really attracted to him, but you don't want people to think that you're just chasing the captain of the football team. You got to take a stand.
Got to keep it real.
Yeah, got to keep it real. That's what I'm doing. That's why I'm going back to the phones, Drew.
Yeah.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
Kendall?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Actually, I'm 20 now.
Oh, you've been on hold that long.
Seriously. When I first got through, he was like, so how old are you? And I looked at the clock. I was like, yeah, I'm still 19. But no, I'm 20 now. Today's my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Oh,
happy
it is.
Birthday.
It's our singer's birthday, too, by the way.
Wow.
Happy birthday. You're not
special. Wow. So you actually changed age. I mean, you
on hold,
a clock and a calendar to mark your hold time.
Yeah. I'm not special.
So what's up? Except for the heroin part, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what's going on? Do you shoot it? Do you snort it? Smoke it?
I haven't been. I've been sober for a while. Actually, not a while. It's been about 8 months. But at a really young age, I got really into drugs because I was stupid, and so.
That usually isn't stupidity. That's usually some sort of trauma that you went through. And then you look for solutions to that in drugs.
Yeah, I think I was just stupid.
Yeah, it doesn't really happen
what
like
this,
that.
Look,
go ahead.
Vernacular.
I'd say I was about...
Hold on 1 second. It's smart to just go, I was stupid, because then people... why did you have the adulterous affair? Why did you slam heroin? Why did you carjack? And you go, I was stupid. And then that's the one answer where people actually feel sorry for you and go the other way. You're not stupid.
Okay, that is, yeah, but still.
Yeah, I'm just saying it's a good angle to work. You could F up horribly, and when they want to know why, if you said, I'm smarter than all of you, you'd get punched in the stomach. You just go, because I'm stupid, and you hang your head, and people go, oh, you're not so stupid. It's just it's a better angle. We should all work it. Go ahead, Kendall.
Okay, 14... In middle school, I would go on the playground during recess and, like, smoke a joint behind the dumpsters. That's stupid. Like,
yeah, I did that.
Yeah.
Well, then we're both stupid.
Yeah, absolutely.
it's hardcore. I mean, it means you're trying to manage feelings that you can't manage on your own.
Smoking reefer at 14 is about average for these parts. I mean, that's maybe you're calling from Indiana. That may have been wild behavior.
I'm calling from the Podunk town of the United States, I swear.
It's horrible.
All right. So smoking a little reefer behind the dumpster in the ninth grade, and then what?
See, actually, freshman year was more like drinking and cocaine.
All right. Well, look, it's a normal path.
It's a gateway drug.
Yeah, that's a gateway thing.
You're a heroin addict. And what's the question?
Once I got out of high school, it got really bad. Yeah. And then I kind of sat there and thought about what I was doing and how I shouldn't be doing it. Mm-hmm. And I've been sober for a while, and it's getting really, really, really hard. And I need, like, I don't know. I need something other than what it was.
Well,
like,
you need the program. You're not in the program now. I need to get with it. People do not stay sober without that. And heroin addicts don't live to see 40 without some very, very intensive active involvement.
They go from 39 to 41, right? We discussed
They just don't see 40.
They skip 40.
They actually are 40. They just don't see it.
Oh, they don't physically see the number.
Visualize.
But they don't die. That's one thing I hate about heroin addicts. The ones I've known, they never die. They just keep
well,
going.
Well, preserve themselves.
A lot of them do die.
They don't see 40.
I mean, if they overdose. But
a lot of them die of all kinds of medical.
The talented ones do, yeah.
I'm still waiting on a few.
Hey, Kendall.
Yeah.
Get in the program.
Yes, sir.
Go to NA, get a sponsor. That's how it works.
Are you high now?
No.
All right.
That's how it works, Kendall. If there was something easier or sort of alternatives to do, I would certainly suggest that for you. But the alternatives are really states of chronic illness like methadone and buprenex, that kind of stuff. You don't want to get into that.
Yeah. And let me ask this. Who has a tougher time kicking, males or females? They look into that? It seems like males cling on with a little tighter grip.
I'm not sure. I wouldn't know. I'd tell you that teenagers are much easier. Teenagers, it's something about the developing brain that they really don't even have withdrawal sometimes.
Yeah.
And that's why teenagers can sometimes delude themselves into thinking they can control it because they go on and off, no big deal. But they always go back on because addiction is a disorder of the motivational systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so the brain is constantly motivated, pushing back towards the drug in spite of everything else in your life that will always push you back to the drug.
But no one's, not that it, you know, it's worth anything, but no one's ever done a study between the differences between male and female biology in terms of addiction?
I'm sure they have.
What do you do for a living then, buddy?
I don't know.
Shop?
I don't doubt I've not seen a big difference.
I want to crack a book.
I would say the men tend to use higher doses.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's...
Oh, women are... Listen, I would love to be a chick. I did the Kimmel show on Friday night. I was sitting next to Lisa Ling, who was the Chinese chick from The View.
Right.
And now she's doing something on National Geographic. She's cute, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
She's, and she was drinking a glass of white wine out there. A lot of people, by the way, didn't think much about this. A lot of people go on talk shows, have a glass of wine to kind of settle them a little bit, especially chicks.
Oh, my God.
Well, here's the thing with a chick. You're going out there. You got nerves going, and you don't have to be funny. So just mellow out. You're looking to be mellow. You don't need your edge. I got to get out there and dance for the man.
Night after night.
Chicken at a carnival. Dancing. But no, not the chicks, especially the Asian chicks. You don't need to be funny. You're an Asian chick. You're cute. Just get up there and talk about The View. So she was drinking her glass of white wine, and I was saying to her, how's this wine doing for you? And she's like, oh, man, I'm Asian, so I got that enzyme thing.
And
I'm like, I'm 125 pounds, and one glass of white wine. Whew,
yeah.
Look out. And I thought, lucky. You know what I mean?
Yeah. For you, it's three bottles.
And then I have to hit myself with the third bottle. It's actually physical trauma about the head. And even then, I'm feeling fine. But disoriented when I know who hit me. All right. It'd be nice just to have one glass of white wine and get completely loopy, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what do you do when you don't want to buzz? Just have like a teaspoon before you go to bed?
They turn red, though, too.
They get the flush. But Drew says, and I told her, Drew says you can push through it. You keep drinking.
You thought of that?
Yeah.
And the red goes away?
Yeah. Yeah, the red goes away.
Great.
Yeah. Funny she was drinking white, too. You know what I'm saying? Maybe there's...
Yeah, I'm hoping not to get the red flush.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Spencer?
She's always thinking.
Hello?
You're 17?
Yeah, just turned 17 about 2 hours ago.
All right.
Happy
birthday,
By the way, he's been on hold for 2 hours. We was 16 when we started, just like our last call.
Yeah, you've been on hold for 85 minutes.
Yeah, first of all, I'd like to say, Dr. Drew, you're God. Adam Carolla, you're Jesus. And I love the Vandals. Wow.
Right.
You guys,
Holy Trinity. Yeah.
Adam is my son.
Spencer.
Yeah.
You're 17.
Yes, sir.
Are you a virgin?
No.
No?
No.
Wait. How do we define virgin here?
Hey, you've had intercourse with a female?
Yes.
Yeah. See, on one hand, he's 17, so he shouldn't be a virgin, according to our callers. On the other hand, he sounds like a virgin. And on the other hand, he's calling from Florida. Not too many virgins after 12.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
And that neck of the woods. How many times have you had sex, Spencer?
Three times.
Same
woman?
Yeah,
I'm also like 5'2".
Oh, mini.
So, yeah. I live in Florida. There's no one a virgin past 7 here.
Yeah. I know.
I'm saving up every dime I can to get out of this place. I don't care. I'll get on a tire and swim to Cuba.
That's a smart guy. I'm in complete agreement with this kid.
You can get out of there.
You can do it.
I got some crap little job, and I'm saving every cent I can to get out of here.
Smart.
Okay.
Does that work right? You work now?
You do something involving waffles? Because I picture everyone in Florida doing something with waffles.
No, I work at a skate shop.
Skate shop. Oh,
that's
all right. And where are you going to move to, Spencer?
I got a couple buddies up in Seattle, so I'm moving up there.
Good. All right. So what's your question?
Okay. I suffer from bipolar. And there's times when I get like extremely, really sexual and I masturbate chronically.
What does that mean? How many times?
About, usually average is about 5 to 8, but I've done it like 12 times in one day.
Wow.
It's really bad. And I want to know if this is something that's going to pose like a serious threat when I get older.
Are you an abuse survivor too?
No.
Drew,
is there
isn't
anything
it
else medically going on with you?
No, just kind of the bipolar thing. And when I was on my medication, it was...
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm sorry.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. His phone's run out of battery juice, by the way.
That's what that is. Either he's got a cash register.
I know, but I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
Eight to 12 in a day.
Yeah, the bipolar, obviously, if you've ever heard of this, in this show we talk to people that are hypersexual, there's sort of two common reasons for that. One is somebody's bipolar and manic, and they can become very, very sexual. And the other is they're an abuse survivor, and that person typically can go through phases of very, very high sexuality, very, very low sexuality.
I think I went for like 8 once, and on the 9th, I actually sucked my underpants up my ass and shot them out my penis. It was sort of like a pitching machine, you know, with the wheels that spin.
Yeah, see that.
Boom, boom. I said, okay, now it's time to quit. That's when it's time to quit.
He said 12. Is there a medical record for how far you can go? How many? Like,
no, I don't think that record's been documented. That could be my next study.
Yeah, that could be the next study.
Yeah, that
Warren
curious.
Can be your subject.
I'm pretty. I've probably done.
What do you think?
Warren's.
I'm going to say 10-ish.
10-ish.
Yeah, 10-ish.
Warren, we're adding up the score for you. We've got early age, hypersexual.
That's solid. 10-ish. Yeah, 10-ish is good. Let's see.
I mean, it took all day. I mean, that was... I didn't have anything to do.
It was a me day.
And there was nothing... Exactly. It was a total me day. It was, And then, you know, go past, like, Telemundo or something, and it's like, you get, may as well.
Yeah. Well, it's tough, you know...
On Telemundo, you
know, the soap operas? They're beautiful. Oh, my God.
Oh, it's crazy.
So,
big,
I mean...
busty, hippie, Latin broads.
Yeah, not distracting you with any English language.
Yeah,
sound off.
Mexican television, even the children's programming has a lot of cleavage.
Yeah. Shusha?
Big hair. Shusha's hot. Mm.
So that's what I think it is,
Shusha, yeah. She's like the Brazilian.
You don't know Shusha?
Hot pants and little kids dancing around her hot pants is basically.
How do you not know Shusha? Shusha is a smoking hot blonde who wears like knee-high pirate boots that are made out of white naga hide, super short shorts and like a halter top, and hosts a children's show.
You know, I think...
What do we get? We got Bob McAllister, like a
Wonderama
from Long Island.
Giving away bagels.
Yeah. We got nothing. Big fat guy with a bad hairpiece telling us...
She has dancing girls, like 8 dancing whores.
I think what happens, I never stay long enough at those shows. I get embarrassed.
Yeah, it only takes me a few minutes either.
But I don't get the names of things.
Yeah. Yeah, if you focus, you just take a couple of minutes.
Okay, I'll work at it next time.
Yeah, when Shusha leads that rumble line, that's when I go off.
She shot a show at CBS Television. They tried to bring it to America.
Yeah, they did an English version for a while. I remember.
Put it on the Spice Channel.
I dialed my extension by accident. I dialed the wrong number, and it came up Shusha.
Oh, really?
It's a shusha on the thing, and I go, what? Who are you? What are you doing? And they're going, we're in stage 61. I, like, hung up the phone and went right over there, and was there every day. I was there every day for the whole summer eating my lunch.
Because you got the wrong phone number, that's how you found out they're
yeah,
doing it?
They were shooting so it in my
All
office.
All right, true. Get on the internet and go find shusha.
How do you spell it?
X-U-X-A.
X-U-X-A?
Yeah. See, yeah. Got, even got porn spelling to it.
It yeah. does, yeah.
All right. True, and how is it? Now, normally, you don't know anything I'm talking about, except for when it comes to children's programming, in which case you get angry at me for not being familiar with Thomas the Tank Engine.
The stuff my kids watch.
All right, well, get them into shusha now that they're getting toward high school, and they can.
I think the first season's out on DVD already
with commentary.
Let's take ourselves a little break. Vandal's in studio tonight, and we'll be right back after this. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Joan Warren here tonight from the Vandals. Yeah, Hollywood Potato Chip.
Right.
Name of the CD. You can find the guys on the Warp Tour on the from the June 25th to August 3rd, and also got a Warp Tour DVD, which is I hear second to none.
I agree.
Yeah. Look, chose it.
Joe calls like he sees it.
No, yeah. I killed myself making it, so I'm not shy about it.
Yeah, it's good. If it's good, then you can say it.
It's high quality.
Yeah.
So you can, and now that's out. You can get that
June 22nd. That comes out. You know.
So just a couple days.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go speak to is that Echo Drew?
Yep.
Yeah. Who's 15?
Or what's Echo? Up? I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Echo.
Yeah. Echo. There we go.
That's your name.
Yeah.
What's up?
Hold on. Does it say that on your birth certificate?
Yes, it does.
Wow. What's up with your parents?
We're going to find out.
Yeah.
Well,
plenty.
I don't know. I live with my brother, and when I was like 8, him and my other brothers molested me.
Mm.
And he's been living with me for about a year and a half now, and it just feels really weird. I can't be alone in the house with him, or I feel really weird.
It is not right or good for you to be living with a perpetrator.
Well, how much older is he than you?
He's like 31.
Oh, boy. Ooh.
And yeah. So when you were 8, he was like 25 or something? 24?
Probably just about that. Like,
he was an adult.
Yeah. That's what you call bad times there. Yeah, that's horrible. And what about your other brother? You said your other brother, too?
Yeah, he lives in Alaska.
And he abused you also?
Yeah.
And how old is he now?
He's a year or two older than my other brother.
Really? And so your two older brothers, who are substantially older than you, by the way, I mean, you're 15, they're in their early 30s?
Yeah.
Are they from the same parents?
Yeah.
Eesh.
No half-brother action.
No.
Wow.
Be that as it may, does your mom, your parents know about this?
Yeah,
that this
they
happened?
Do.
And yet they're allowing you to still live with the perpetrating brother.
They act like nothing ever happened.
Oh, my God.
Well, what, I don't want to pry too much, but I get, hold on one second. Let me talk to my comrades for a second. The parents are acting like nothing happened.
Right.
She's living with the brother. It's got to be awful weird for the brother, too, by the way.
Unless he's gaming up, you know, planning something else.
But here's the real question, and the other brother did it too. What was this full-fledged abuse, or was there some sort of inappropriate something that the parents are saying, look, get over it, or it's not as big a deal
or
as you think it is?
Was mom sexually abused too, and it's just the way it goes?
Okay.
And molested, yeah, is that, yeah.
Well, let's ask what happened.
What did they do to you?
The brothers.
The brothers.
Well, I didn't have, like, it wasn't, like, actual penetration, but it was, he made me suck his and stuff like
Ooh.
That.
That'll do.
All right. That's
Sorry,
good
I
enough.
I shouldn't have
That
said
counts,
it.
Yeah.
And your parents know, your mom knows he did this.
Yeah. She took me to health and welfare, and they put me through a little bit of counseling, but that only lasted for about a half year.
Right. All right. So your brother, or brothers, by the way, God knows what this guy's doing in Alaska, but thank Christ he's out of the contiguous United States. You know, he's just got to deal with Canada if he wants to deal with us. But the thing is these guys are a mess, and I wonder if they were abused.
Of course. Something bad.
Yeah, something bad. Is this just super albino white trash? I mean, you're horrible alcoholics and all that stuff?
Something horrible.
Well, my brother, one of my older brother is an alcoholic, and my other brother, he's just nasty.
Well, why is your one brother living at home at 31 years of age?
Because he's a baby.
And hold on one second. Engineer Chris, we finally found a guy older than you who's living at
you're
home.
You're off the hook, yeah.
Yeah. He's not going to junior college, though, is
Chris,
he?
Do you have any sisters?
No.
Good. I have two sisters.
Two sisters. And what, anything happened to them?
I don't know. I've never heard anything about it.
All right, so you're living at home. Your parents are still together?
No.
Your dad's gone?
He lives in Alaska.
Yeah. And by the way, hold on. Alaska is sort of what Florida is to deadbeat dads, is what Alaska is for just sort of alcoholics who hate the government. You know what I mean? I don't need anyone telling me where I can park my snowmobile. You know that
you flee to Alaska.
You go to Alaska.
You roll down to Florida. Yeah, you flee to Alaska.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's something that's not going right. You go to Alaska because things haven't worked out wherever you were.
Yeah, it's the last resort.
Yeah, continent chewed you up, spit you out. Yeah, and that's where you ended up.
I'm gonna start new in Alaska. That's really what that is. And Nevada's got it. Now there's a whole different crew that goes to Nevada, but Nevada, Alaska, and Florida.
Those are the three.
Now, Hawaii has
a little bit of that element.
End of the earth.
Hawaii has that, but it's a more euphemistic sort of hippie kind of. We're gonna get a sprout farm going up here. I'm gonna smoke some spleef and spend my day surfing. A lot of scrounging. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can sleep on the beach if I have
but
to.
Not they're fleeing. Not gonna they're shoot not fleeing. You. They're advancing.
Yeah, they think they are. They think they're advancing. Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah,
wait tables and surfing.
Yeah, it's
like the snowboard towns. Every snowboard town is like that too.
Oh, Tahoe.
They're advancing.
Right, but here's
they think they're advancing.
Here's the thing: the ones that moved to Alaska and Florida will shoot at you. Yeah. The other ones, only the Hawaiian ones, only if you get stumble onto their pot farm. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they actually take a shot at you, but it's probably booby trapped anyway. All right, so
Echo, what are we gonna do for her?
Worked it all out.
Look at this. His hands are registered. No, wait a minute.
They'll send anyone a concealed weapons permit with just a safety certificate and a photo and a.
Joseph. Well, now hold on a second.
That's what Florida's got going for you. They'll just give anyone a gun permit.
Joe gets into everything. Wait a minute.
Right, hold on. We can't deal with this until we're done with Echo, and then we'll deal with it. All right. So, Echo, your brother, even though your mom is aware of what he did to you, your mom's aware of it. Still, he gets to move home and live with you guys.
Yeah.
All right, and he's just sort of he's a loser, right? He's 31, he had to move home.
Yeah, basically.
And when they took you to the Health and Human Services, however you phrase that. Health and Welfare. Did you report the abuse?
Yeah, they set me in this little room and taped me. And
so maybe it's time to get back to them and let them know that you're living with the perpetrator again.
And this guy sleeps in a room down the hall?
Yeah.
And you guys pass each other in the hall? Do you say hi? Is it weird?
No, only when we're home alone. I feel really weird.
God,
do you?
Did he get some treatment?
No, not that I know of.
He's fine.
Does he drink? Yeah, if it ain't broke, Drew. does he drink?
Occasionally.
Because really, what you don't. Really, what you don't want is the booze mixed in with mom being out in the room. I don't want to freak you out, but do you have a lock you can put on your bedroom door at night so you can just sort of sleep in peace?
No.
You got to get one.
What about, $3 at the hardware store, get a little barrel bolt.
Sleep better.
Yeah.
I'm in the process of getting a job, and I can't wake up on my own. Not even with an alarm, so I'd have to keep my door unlocked so my mom
can. They can bang on the door. They can bang on the door. That's fine.
All right, and look, get the job, get your friends around you, hang out at school, get involved with everything you can that doesn't involve going home. Go home, go to bed, eat breakfast, and leave again for the entire day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what else. Obviously, if the guy, you're 15 now, if the guy does anything that's even close to out of line, you just start screaming bloody murder and call the cops.
Yeah. If she can, she may still freeze. I mean, if she's, she may still have a freeze reaction.
What about these people, by the way, who cannot get up with alarms blaring? And they actually like, need two alarms, and it won't work. Like,
what about these people?
how deep? How far?
Was that Warren or Joe?
Joe.
No, I'm not one of those. No, I'm just. Nope.
I don't know. I'm always curious.
Bus drivers. We have a lot of bus drivers on the road that are like that.
Really? Always. Always curious. Like, I mean, I do know people that go, no, I got to put one alarm here, and then I got to put another alarm on the other side of the room. My friend, I lit firecrackers off in the guy's room. The guy had paper from the firecrackers were blowing off so close to me. I actually had paper from it. Didn't get up.
Who was this?
Wake up. My friend's kid brother. Yeah.
That's a sleep disorder.
Yeah, when you just
a disorder.
You're so far gone. It's like as if you die every night. Yeah. Like, you're dead.
Nothing more.
It's not going to get up. Not all right. So, all right. I would lock the door, and I would...
Of course.
I would urge everybody to just lock their door. Why not?
Yeah.
I do it every house I've ever had. Just get a little barrel bolt, put it on there. Now, it's not going to stop the SWAT team from coming in if they need to come in. It's not going to stop a homicidal maniac with an axe from coming in. It's going to stop your drunken stepdad from you waking up and find out there's a guy beating off on the side of the bed.
Right.
That's what it does. You can, there's no slipping in. If
Sorry,
he's
Warren.
Getting in, he's got to put his shoulder into the thing. Yeah. All right, now, let's talk about Joe's IDs here that he's produced.
That's crazy.
He has one to carry a concealed weapon
in Vegas.
Las Vegas, and he has another in the state of Florida to carry a
anything for Alaska,
weapon.
Hawaii, or?
I think my Washington one's good in Alaska, and the it's not. I don't carry it with me.
Do you pack heat?
No.
No.
It's more wallet enhancement, you know.
Sure.
I'm sure. But that Florida one is good in, like, 25 states.
Oh, it is?
But all you need to do is get a training. Mm-hmm. Certificate, you send it to Florida with a picture of yourself and $120, and it comes flying back.
Yeah.
Good in 20 states.
Yeah, Florida's...
How crazy is that?
Florida's great that
makes you feel pretty good, doesn't it?
I can't believe it. Yeah,
You did it just to prove that you could?
Yeah, we go on tour, and we are looking for stuff to do in each state, and we're like, let's go to gun range, and then like then we started getting into, I wonder what it takes to get a concealed weapon permit in this state, and then we started checking into it and just started doing it.
Surprisingly easy, yeah.
No barrier is too high for Joe anyway.
No.
Yeah.
Joe's ambitious.
I'm not used to killing animals. I mean, the guns are just not further, not much further along.
I was, now maybe you guys can help me with this. I have this, I got a house. I'm putting a flagpole up. I'm convinced, by the way, flagpole, your house goes from house to fortress or from house to, like, public library or monument or something. You can get a 20-foot flagpole, costs $250. I'm convinced it adds $30,000 to the price of your house. No problem at all. It all of a sudden seems like a compound. Even if it's a crappy little house, you put the big flagpole in front, it's like a shit has a nautical theme all of a sudden. Okay, now, here's my other idea. My first impulse, you fly the American flag. That's good because it makes the criminals think maybe you're packing heat. Now, you fly the Confederate flag, you're cleaning the gun. Like, they picture you home actually cleaning the shotgun. Doesn't matter what time of day it is. So,
you apply a certain type of weapon, too.
Yeah, I had a certain thought. Like you see the American flag up on the flagpole in front of the house, you're thinking, okay, the guy's got a gun.
NRA.
But it's probably down in the safe. And he's upstairs.
Yeah.
You see Confederate flag, you picture sawed off between the mattress and box spring. Like, that guy's packing, and he's used it, and he will use it again. Now, I don't like the, and I said to somebody, what percentage of people who fly the Confederate flag or show it somewhere on their home have a gun? And it's got to be above 90%,
it's up 90,
right?
Yeah. Above 90%.
And then the guy brought up a good point. I was talking to a guy I work with, Rick. He goes, and the other 8%? Had it taken away or pawned it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yes. El Camino need a new transmission, so I had to pawn the sawed-off shotgun. Mm-hmm. I'll be getting it back. Like, there's an explanation for the 10 that don't actually have it on their person. But I thought, I don't want the Confederate flag because it has all the whole racial connotation to it. So then I thought, don't tread on me. Now, that suggests firearm.
Like patriotic, too.
Patriotic.
What
that's
state
firearm.
Is that?
New Hampshire or something, is it? Vermont or something?
Vermont, anyone can carry a gun.
So it must be Vermont.
Yeah, anybody, they don't have permitting. Because they're like, what? You carry a gun? It was like it's any of our business?
Yeah, you can use the don't tread on me thing works no matter what state you're in, I think. I mean, doesn't it?
It applies. Yeah.
It applies.
It gives the point.
And you see the don't tread on me flag out front of a guy's house. He's packing.
He's a badass, yeah.
He's packing.
And a patriot.
and a patriot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, none of the negative stereotype.
Exactly.
No Dukes of Hazzard jokes. Right. Nothing. All right, there we go. I got it set.
Yeah, one of the signers of the Declaration
fine,
is here.
Yeah. All right. Well, Vandal's here. We'll take a quick break.
A fan of the original 13.
We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Anthony. That's Dr. Griff. We got a second song from the Vandals that we forgot all about. So much into the callers tonight, Drew, that we forgot about the second
song. And Joe's stories.
Well, Joe's an eclectic mix, boy.
You know, this is the only place I get my chance, so I got to let it all out.
Yeah, you picked the right place.
You guys are my only friends.
Well, we're interested. We really are. We get a lot of these bands in here, guys just sitting on their hands, pouting, drunk. No, they're not. They're not stabbing bulls or getting permits. They're not doing anything, making concerts.
Not living.
Exactly, live.
Yeah, my God, it's like Ernest Hemingway. Really, really is. Like, if Ernest screwed with his hair a little bit, or
lost or
if
a little weight.
Grew a beard, or lost a little weight or something. You're really,
lost
like,
a little weight.
Yeah, someone needs to lose weight. Ernest does.
Ernest is the guy in this.
But
in this,
you're really a Hemingway type.
Yeah, I didn't get into the Hemingway until after I got into the bullfighting, and then I heard it from all... There's all these white guys that look like that linger around the scene, and they're the Hemingway types. But I kind of came in the Tijuana entrance.
Yeah,
Mexican
like a
background.
Teddy Roosevelt type. Out seeking adventure.
Seeking adventure. I also go to church, by the way. I'm not just a heathen.
Let's hear a song before we get into religion and it gets sad.
We should.
Let's...
not my religion.
Let's...
Church of Ra.
Yeah. We're hearing a song from the Vandals. This one's called I Am Crushed.
I am crushed, and I am devastated, and contemplating suicide, but I don't have the nerve, and what's the rush? It all should end real soon, and so I'll just keep waiting, and I'll listen to them say, you got your life in front of you, and so I must apply. That is just more bad news, 'cause I'd really rather die. Then limp around in agony, reliving all the tragedies, and face another day.
song, by the way.
Another good song.
Thank you.
That's yeah. Warren writes all that music while I'm being out being weird. So wow. That's fine.
That's why I don't have a permit for anything.
So. Yeah. Nice job. Well, you got a license to rock. I'll tell you that right now.
24 hours, yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back with the Vandals after this. Hey, yeah. Vandals, everybody. God love you. Get this, the CD, which is Hollywood Potato Chips, coming out in about a week and a half. And then you got the Warped Tour DVD, which is coming out in just a couple of days.
Yep.
Yeah. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thanks for having us.
Been too
Always
long.
A pleasure. And now that you got a big hit, you know, come don't get quicker. All cocky on it.
Oh, well, I think we'll still come back every once in a while.
Thanks.
Come back when you got a bullfight in town.
Yeah.
They don't happen in town. That's the problem.
It's illegal. It's illegal.
Well, Tijuana. Yeah.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.